I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Off the ball. Rugby.
I'd love to start a dog bone Joe McCarthy and go, well, we're picking power and physicality here. Yeah, and put Tyburn in the back row. I think the line-out is something I'm always banging on about.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. So on Football Saturday just gone with John Duggan, there was a good discussion about the aligned calendar for underage football, sort of off the back of how a lot of kids would have been sitting at home over the course of the weekend with the bad weather. Football games obviously called off up and down the country. And Owen Doyle was in studio here, for example, given his view of things, and his local club would have been Leicester Celtic. I think as we speak, Leicester Celtic and their facility is currently about a foot underwater. Naturally, there was also a lot of feedback from listeners about their own experiences around the country over the course of the winter so far. And one of those was Tommy Martin of Virgin Media Sport and the Irish Examiner, who I'm very happy to say is with us now. Tommy, good to chat to you. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping well, Owen. Nice and dry.
Good. So you had a full house at the weekend, basically. You couldn't get the kids out.
Yeah, exactly. Got my son out to a GA match he was playing away up in Malahide, thanks to a handy Astro that had been booked. So that's the magic five-letter word, Astro. If you've got one of them handy, you get the kids out. If not, it's board games and tablets and PlayStations.
The point of your tweet, certainly, that got a lot of traction around it, is that you're also a coach of underage soccer. And your general point is that they're not being given a fair crack when it comes to opportunities to simply play their sport at this time of the year.
Yeah, it was sort of a kind of a cry from the heart, you know, of there probably a lot of underage soccer coaches would be sort of feeling the same this time of year. And throughout the winter months and this is, by the way, I'm not partisan either way on the FAI football pathways plan and what it was trying to do and the arguments for and against it. It was literally just here's, and I think it's important that everyone, because a lot of the feedback has been from people's lived experiences, but here's lived experience. And it's basically winters, you know, you spend the winter like spending an inordinate amount of time looking at the Met Aaron app and the and Carlo Weathers tweets, you know, is you're going like, so Carlo Weather, is this system coming in from the Atlantic? Is this bad? Like, how bad is it? Like, you're just constantly, like, you're so attuned to, you know, it's like underage soccer coaches and sort of, prehistoric farmers, you know, looking to see whether there was rain on the way, are the most tuned in people to weather. And then looking at the Dublin City Council pitch updates for other councils that run away teams. And that whole, it's just your whole. And then you get a winter like this one. And while this one is particularly bad, like, it's not that much of an outlier. I think, you know, if you're involved in, it's not just soccer, but other field sports for any length of time, you're going to get every second year, maybe every third year, something as bad as this. Every year has a spell. Every season has a spell like this, where maybe you get a season like last season, which wasn't too bad. I seem to recall a good run of games before Christmas, a bit patchy after Christmas, and then fine around, you know, March, Easter time. But this year has been particularly bad, and it's kind of come, the timing again has sort of been opportune in the sense that it's come sort of after a lot of the real heat of the debate about the aligned calendars. In my mind, I might be wrong, Owen, seemed to have kind of petered out a bit because Mark Cannon went, and, you know, tis with Mark Cannon in the grave, it seems, the debate and the proposals in it. And when Owen and Johnny and John and the lads, when it came up on Saturday, I just thought, yeah, it is something that needs to be kept talked about. even as the sort of political football is sort of, you know, being kicked around, or if you like, a knife has been stuck in it, in a case of, because I'm pretty sure, if I, you might correct me if I'm wrong, that the FAI have sort of agreed that leagues can have leagues can basically not implement it if they want. There's a get out that they can apply for. It's essentially almost death by a thousand cuts. If you want to do it, fine. If you don't want to do it, fine. So that's where it sort of came from. And look, just to, the bottom line is, you're basically going in a winter like this, you're going months and months and months, you know, with minimal actual game time. If you're lucky, if you're, you know, a club that has access to an astro pitches, if you have your fixtures happen to fall that you're playing away to teams that have astro fixtures, if there's a break in the weather, you might get a game here and there. But just to illustrate, you know, so my daughter's under 13 squad, we'll say roughly since mid-October, season started mid-September, played five games in the first few weeks, which is fine. And then since mid-October till now, they played two league games. So that's 3 months, two league games and 3 months in football. To even, you know, obviously considering the Christmas break, but in what's supposed to be sort of the peak of their season, and you're training, you know, training every week, and it's coming to, you know, the end of training, and the girls are asking, what's the story of the match? Who's captain for the match? And you're kind of, your heart sinks because you're telling them, not much chance the match is going ahead. And kids just want to play the games. Like, that's where they get the buzz from. That's where the interest is kept up in. And I just felt, I'm not partisan either way, but we just need to offer them something better, especially in soccer, because I think some of the challenges in soccer are particularly severe around facilities. We just need to figure out something better.
As you say, you're not partisan one way or the other on the aligned calendar, for example. You just want more football played in the summer months, which could still be an academic year calendar, but it just finishes a little bit after the school year ends and maybe starts a little bit before the school resumes.
Yeah, my response is very much a gut response, Owen, and it's like, it's not going through the minutiae of the plan and pointing things out and what's right or wrong. It's basically saying, take a step back here. This is ridiculous. Like, we literally have this, you know, climate that we all know, where there are certain months of the year where aspiring to play on grass pitches is a big ask, is a big challenge. We have certain months of the year where it's perfectly attuned for it. And at the moment, in Dublin, the junior soccer, underage soccer calendar is, the idea is the season starts sort of early, mid-September, short break of Christmas, and finish up by the end of May. So last year, for example, the last weekend would have been around the 24th of May. There was a delay in starting the season in September because of administrative issues. So that's the guts of 3.5+ months of the best Irish weather that is, there was no organised competitive soccer in. Now, I know there's lots of arguments about that. People want to take holidays, absolutely fine. Totally understand that. There are, you know, challenges around the country. I mean, it was interesting, the reaction to the post on X was from, you could see how it was broken down from people kind of going, yep, spot on, it's been terrible this year, challenges, etc. And then people from rural Ireland or counties with different experiences who were just absolutely instinctively you know, so opposed to what the Pathways Plan was trying to do, because they felt it was imposing this blanket structure on their local experiences. And I would sort of say that to me is a definite sort of issue with it. Like, the idea that you're impose a one size fits all structure on something that's so different and so particular to local areas, I think that sort of probably doomed it from the start. But just to come back to my original point, which again is a gut one, yes, there are challenges with having soccer played in the better weather, but they're really, really easy to go overcome, you know. And the whole thing is, you know, yeah, okay, if you want to play football in winter, please come up with something better than looking out the window, hoping that big black cloud or that, you know, Carlo weather is not going to give me bad news. Let's try and figure out better ways to get kids playing competitive football over these winter months that don't involve, you know, saturated pitches.
Yeah, like what, Tommy?
Well, look, to me, it's a little bit of imagination, you know, and I do know that, like, in the Pathways plan, there was a proposal that, like, those real dark depths of winter months would be the traditional sort of games would be replaced by sort of futsal for the younger ages and things like that. And I think the kickback there from people like the DDSL, for example, is fine. Who's going to run that? You know, who's going to man that? Are you going to staff it? Are we going to staff it? We don't have employees to run full time. You know, it was something that one of the things that really scuppered the whole plan was that a lot of it was kind of like, ooh, very, very aspirational and, you know, can it really happen? But, you know, realistically, what we need to do is, yeah, okay, we want kids to still play football. Let's look at what facilities we have. Okay, first thing we obviously want is a government that will really invest in you know, indoor facilities, AstroTurf pitches, like a government that would make it a huge plank to say we are going to revolutionise the Irish municipal facility, sports facility offering. And, like, to be fair, on current and recent governments, like, it has come a long way from a very, very low base. You know, I think everybody might have seen various graphs that we are lowest of the whole EU at one point in recent times in terms of investment in facilities. There is a lot more going in, but can you make that actually, this is a national cause now? You know, that's a hard ask when there's a housing crisis and lots of other issues as well. But that's, you know, so apart from that, can we look at, you know, every community has school halls, school playgrounds. There are AstroTurf facilities out there. Do we look at our facilities that we have over the winter months and say, what we're going to do is we're going to have small-sided futsal tournaments. We're going to get, you know, every club is going to try and, you know, get into the local school hall and run indoor nights. If there's an Astro available, why are we fixated on 11-a-side matches for 12-year-olds? Why don't, you know, where you have, you know, an 11-a-side game, 22 players on a full-size pitch, you can make 4 7-a-sides and keep, you know, whatever that is, 56 players busy for the same, you know, just make the most of the facilities that we have. But and then rest your pitches then for those terrible months. If you want to continue adult leagues through there, I know there's a huge kind of, especially in, you know, a lot of the responses, resistance to making the junior soccer at an adult level, aligning it with sort of League of Ireland, etc. Fine, okay, but you take a little bit of the pressure off. You know, let's use what facilities we have in every area. Maybe it's we're cutting down on training access in the winter months because Tuesday night is going to be soccer blitz night for clubs in Dublin West or Dublin this region. It's going to be soccer blitz night. 4 clubs, round table, you know, how do we just generate, how do we actually just look at what we have? And the big thing we've got to get back to is, like, what do the kids actually want? You know, the kids want to play games. They want to play, you know, they love playing when they get access to pitches now with what we have. But can we, what's the best answer to find a way to get over this problem of, sorry, kids, nothing happening this week, you know?
Yeah, like the futsal idea is such a common sense one. And the thing about it is that it was outlined in the Football Pathways Plan as well. Like, what are kids supposed to be doing, specifically kids between the ages of 5 and 14 in the months of December, January and February? Well, in December and January, it was literally written into the development plan, into the Pathways Plan, that there would be futsal in January and futsal Christmas in December. So this was baked into it, but because the idea of summer football wasn't palatable to a lot of little fiefdoms around the country, and for understandable reasons, I take that, it seems that we've disregarded this whole thing en masse.
Yeah, that's just going back to the original point. I just think that's why having it on the agenda, even if at a political level within Irish football, it seems to have been put to bed, and the FAI of other issues, and almost kind of with Mark Canham, did it go? it's so important to keep it on the agenda, because there's nothing stopping the leagues, there's nothing stopping any league. If you want to have your local control or whatever you have, saying, right, let's get over this whole thing of everybody, you know, scrapping for pitches. And I don't know what, like, again, I don't like talking about different examples around the country. I think that's for your listeners around the country to get in touch and give their views. I just want to talk about my own experience, because there's huge participation in soccer in Dublin. You know, it's so, like, our club's Merino AFC, and it's a really typical small community club, plays almost most of its matches on public pitches, has a small clubhouse facility, like, that is basically a couple of dressing rooms and some storage. But all, you know, pitches are council pitches for the most part. And it's, we still have between 400 and 500 registered players. Like, you multiply that through the whole Thurles City, again, just speaking about the Dublin scenario, it's a huge amount of people who are affected by this. So keeping it on the agenda and saying, okay, how do we, right, okay, we fought off unpalatable aspects of this proposal that we didn't like, but how do we actually give the kids a really good experience over those winter months that keeps them playing soccer? Like, kids love playing soccer. Like, they love it. Like, they, you know, I'm on the girls' side, and, you know, after 2023 World Cup, explosion of interest, girls coming, and you want to keep them in it, because you want to, they will drop off if the experience is crap. Like, you know, they will, especially girls, other things will, you know, it's harder to keep them in it, but they love playing it. So how can we actually keep them in where they're actually buzzing about, yes, we'll train or whatever, but we've got all these tournaments and matches that we can play, and it's futsal, if it's futsal, if it's in an Astro and it's a small-sided blitz tournament over those months. And then when we get into the better months, we use them as best we can. If it's into the summer and people want to take a break, that's fine, but maybe we can have small-sided seven-a-side tournaments in local areas again. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just a bit of imagination. And I totally understand, like, this is not a pop at anybody who's running leagues or running, you know, even at a national level, because it's bloody hard to do any of this stuff. And there's loads of people like me giving out that don't have to sit and arrange all the fixtures. And by the time it comes to the end of the season, the last thing you maybe want to do is organise more small tournaments around the place. Maybe it's clubs, you're over to you guys. You know, you're going to organise between four local clubs a summer cup on the dry, in the dry pitches, long evenings. You know, you can have four different time slots between the evenings. You know, you make the most of it. And you're you know, so there's a potential model of all year round that could be done. With a bit of imagination. I'm not saying I'm the guy to do it, but I just think conversations like the one, like Owen and the lads are having the weekend, just need to keep pushing them and keep sort of saying, can we do better? Like, can we as adults do better?
Is your council facility generally unused during the best months of the year?
Yeah. The dog walkers,
of course,
would argue with that. Completely. You know, I mean, it's a public green. It's obviously in use for the community, but there would be no football on it between early June and mid August. Somebody might come back and say you need to rest it. You need to. It can be too dry sometimes in those months.
Tommy, when we did the phone in a couple of months ago, the reaction was wild and varied. Some of the reaction to summer football was that the ground would be too hard for the kids to play on.
Yeah. Listen, if you want to find problems, like, you'll find problems. I mean, look, I don't know what to say about that.
The best summer we've ever had is actually a health and safety concern to the young underage players. Just a couple of things just out of interest, slightly off topic, but you mentioned there being involved with your daughter's team. Is it extra difficult for girls underage getting places to play, or is it pretty much the same for boys and girls at say under 13 level, as you mentioned there?
No, I think it's the same. Okay. It applies the same. I mean, not all clubs have boys and girls sections, but majority do now. And listen, my experience is, I couldn't speak for other clubs, but my experience is everybody goes into the pot and, you know, I mean, if there's a blanket cancellation of all pitches, then, you know, everybody's equally pissed off. So, but no, I to be fair, I think everything is equal opportunity misery at this stage, you know.
And then the other thing that you mentioned in your post on X was that it was supposed to be a silent sideline initiative last week. Have you done this much as a club, Tommy, and how successful has it been?
Well, to be fair to the DDSL, and again, I don't want to, like, I think they do loads of brilliant stuff, like, and it's easy, you know, sit there giving out about leagues that organise things. They're doing amazing stuff around free coaching courses now. Evan Ferguson's dad, Barry Ferguson, is doing a great job there. He's the director of football, like, literally free courses for coaches to sign up and do, and a lot of work around the whole issue of, you know, it's their game campaign, trying to discourage sort of sideline behaviour that is unacceptable. So yeah, the irony was they rolled out a silent sideline last weekend, and the sidelines were silent, but unfortunately, because there was, you know, almost no matches being played on the grass pitches anyway. But I think it's, yeah, look, I fortunately haven't had any really bad experiences, but I know people who have. Things tend to be nice and fairly fairly sort of relaxed on our sidelines,
yeah,
for the most part.
You haven't entered your tiger parenting phase just yet, Tommy.
Just
to wrap it up then, on the FAI Pathways plan, just to kind of give a sense of what we understand to be the situation. So just the reporting before the end of the year, John Fallon was reporting in November that the FAI had, and I quote, admitted defeat on the subject, and then he wrote that they introduced an exemption process that had been widely ridiculed. The vast majority of leagues, underage and adults, have carried on with the traditional September to May schedule wrapped around the academic year. And then Neil O'Riordan, shortly before that, on the nature of the exemption process, was writing that the requirement from under 5 to under 12 leagues to change to a calendar year season has been deferred from its original date of January 1st, 2026. So it's supposed to be in by now. They will now be due to be implemented on the 1st of January 2026. The original deadline for under 13 to under 18 leagues, which remains the same. The implementation date for adult leagues of January 1st, 2028 also remains unchanged. So quite how much that requirement actually exists right now is still up in the air. We'll do our best to find out what exactly the FAI stance is on that, but you wouldn't be particularly surprised if the plans have been completely relaxed / binned at this point.
Yeah, look, I do think It feels like the FAI have admitted defeat on it, that the objections were just too severe. I think obviously Mark Calm's departure, Jeremy McDermott's departure as well, who was the other official in the FAI who was a big proponent of it. The derogation, as you say, to not implemented is there. And I think, look, I do think it is important. Like, literally everybody in every different region will have their own experiences. A lot of them will say it doesn't work because it's the same coaches coaching the GAA and the soccer, and they literally will be out every night of the week in some area parts of the country. Some people have tried it and it's an unhappy experience. Look, I'm not going to sit here. I think one of the worst things you can do is, you know, try and sort of city-splain to people outside of, you know, outside of the metropolis. Like, I'm from part of the country myself where I know what that feels like, and you know, it's not the answer to the situation. More consultation needs to be had, and if it's a case that, like, it's part of the issues of structures of Irish soccer that it is so localized, I don't think you're going to fix that in the short term. Meanwhile, by the time you ever did fix it, you'd have generations of kids not getting as much, you know, playing time as they should. Like, so there's a big opportunity if people really sort of sit down and just say, let's put everything aside, forget getting too hung up on things like calendars, and say, how can we get the best? You know, if people are saying, oh, you can't do that, it's a GAA season, that's fine. Maybe just say, right, Monday nights in the summer, down wherever you are, it's just a soccer blitz night. It's not training, matches, leagues and all that. It's just a night where kids are playing a bit of soccer throughout the calendar year, and they're having experience that soccer isn't just a thing to be played on muddy pitches, you know, every third week when the weather relents. You know?
Yeah.
But again, it's all, I think, listening to people's experiences and being imaginative and thinking about what the kids deserve and would benefit from is the main thing.
Yeah, there's a DM in here from Colin Woods, who was replying to our Instagram story earlier, and it just says, in block caps, Astros, Astros, Astros. And as you say, yeah, the magic five-letter words at the top of this item, that's probably the one thing that can unify the entire football pyramid in this country.
Well, that's it. Look, yeah, exactly. If we could wave a magic wand, but look, in until such time, let's try and think of something better.
For sure. Tommy Martin, great to chat to you as always. Thanks a million for hopping on and sharing your experience this evening.
Thanks all. Cheers.
Cheers. We'll take a quick break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.